Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 5, 1887 to 1888. Sermon/Abide in Me. Potterville, Michigan, November 25, 1888. Portions of this manuscript are published in TDG 338, 10MR 381 to 382. John, the 15th chapter, commencing with the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verses 1 to 3. That means pure. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 4. You will please mark that verse. If any of you think that you can do work for the Master, and yet not have Christ abiding in your heart by living faith, you are making a mistake. You see, it is an impossibility. It is the living connection with Christ that brings us into right relation with God, so that with His power combined with human effort, men can accomplish the work God has given them to do in the world. In Christ Jesus, there is constant growth that the believer may be a faithful witness for God, a guide and example to others in self-denial, in cross-bearing, in prompt and vigorous action. In tempering character, he must abide in Christ. Then he will work as Christ worked. His faith will be strong, his consecration complete. His love for souls will be evidenced. This is the fruit we must bear, which will qualify us to be workers together with God. The Lord can trust us to bear responsibilities, however difficult and perilous, to bring the light of truth before the world in clear, bright rays. Self must not become prominent. The I must be kept single, aiming to glorify God, not self. And then love will abound yet more and more. And we will approve things that are excellent and be filled with the fruits of righteousness. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verses 4 to 5. We must live by faith, which means abiding in Christ. The life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2, verse 20. We must learn of Christ daily that we may exercise forbearance and patience and heavenly wisdom. You cannot go with only your natural inclinations and make a success in working for the salvation of souls. If you think you can bear the message and have converting power come upon the hearts of the people, and yet not have Christ with you, you will meet with disappointment and failure. It is best for us to take Christ right along with us. It is best for us to take the stand, I will not go unless thou go with me. It is best for the mother to take the stand that she must have Christ with her. If the mother wants to train her family so that they may grow up for future usefulness and for heaven, she must train her children in the fear of God. She must not allow them to have their own will and their own way. She needs to have Christ and the presence of the truth abiding in her own heart, that she shall be where she can work for others, for her children, her family, for her neighbors, and for future eternal life. There is a great work for us to do. God did not put us in this world to do nothing but amuse ourselves. If the mother can train her children for God and for heaven, she is doing a great work. We want Christ Himself abiding in our hearts. Fathers, we want the fruits of the Spirit of God abiding in the heart. We want to be where we can take right hold upon the work of training and disciplining our children. How is it with us? We seem to think that we can get along without Christ. Go into the family. Listen to them as they talk. They claim to be Christians, but you don't hear one word of Christ. You do not hear anything that gives you any information in regard to Christ. There is nothing in their discourse that opens to you the beauty, the loveliness, and the perfection of Christ. We want our own hearts glowing with the love of Christ. When our hearts are full of the love of Christ, it will come just as naturally from the lips as this light, chaffy talk that does not do anyone any good. You go to dinner at some friend's house. The mother and perhaps other members of the family are so busy preparing the dinner that you do not have an opportunity to converse with them until the dinner is upon the table. You have a great variety, and if you should eat of everything that is upon the table, you will just make gluttons of yourselves. Your perceptions will be blunted. Your minds will not be clear. We read that Enoch walked with God. And how did he walk with God? Why, he made Christ his companion. I long to see men who walk with God in this age. You read of those holy men of old. They did not act as though Christ was afar off. They acted as though he was with them. They conversed with him. They would let their petitions go out to him. You can do just the same. Enoch walked with God, and God took him to himself. Enoch was an example to all those who will be translated to heaven without seeing death. We want to be in Christ. We want Christ abiding in our hearts by faith. We cannot afford to be in that position where we are not bearing fruit. I will read farther. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. This promise is in the Word of God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, what does that mean? It means that every requirement, every lesson Christ gave to his disciples, we are to read and reread, believe and practice, and bring the same clear lines before others that they can understand it. If you do that, he says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What is the fruit? We want to know who is bearing it. We find what the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians the 5th chapter and the 22nd and 23rd verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. How is it? Why, there is no condemnation of the law that comes upon them. We must be abiding in Christ. We must be living up to the requirements of the law, then we can bear fruit to the glory of God. Now, brethren, your profession may be very high, high as heaven. You may claim to be very righteous, but we want to know if you are. We want to know if the law of Jehovah is exalted by you, if you are bringing your life and character to meet the requirements of high heaven. If you are not bearing the fruits of the Spirit, you are not abiding in Christ. The 15th verse of this same chapter. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Did you ever see anything like this? See those two who have had a disagreement. One wants sympathy on his side, and the other wants sympathy on his side. We don't want any such feeling among us. This is the fruit Satan bears. If you permit such a spirit to exist among you, you will find that you are devouring one another. You will find that it will affect your physical as well as your spiritual strength. Yes, your physical strength will be affected if you cherish feelings of anger or enmity. Your strength is affected by the way you feel. Walk in the light of the Spirit of God, else you cannot do the things you would. Sometimes you want to do good. You cannot, because you have no influence. What is the matter? Your own characters are so rough and crooked, you cannot do the good you wish to. If you walk by the Spirit, God will not look upon you as transgressors, because you are obedient. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. Brethren, are you in any way guilty of these? Brethren, sisters, are you in any way approaching unto them? I tell you before God, if you are indulging in any of these and continue to, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There you have it decisively. I beg of you that not one of you will commence to make excuses for your rough characters. Had we not better obey the word of God? Will it make us any more simple? Will it be such a wonderful disgrace if we try to live according to God's word? If the parents have unruly spirits, the same will be seen throughout the family. You will see that the children will talk the very same words that mother talks, that father says. When you parents are easily provoked to anger, when your words are harsh or scornful or bitter, you are training your children up in that line. You can't afford to go on in this round. Suppose you bear the fruits of the Spirit. Suppose there is only love and meekness. How much pleasanter everything is. The children will feel it. And by and by, instead of that old, high-toned key of voice, there will be pleasant tones and kind words. Each one will love every other member of the family, and that love will be expressed in the very tones of the voice. And we will have families where the Spirit of God can dwell. The light will be reflected from one to another. I want you to think of these things. Now, if you have the law of love, if you have peace and joy and righteousness in your families, you can never keep it all inside the house. No, indeed, it will flow out. The very same law of kindness that is manifest in the home circle will be acted out by the different members of the family as they meet with others. As the children conduct themselves at home, so they will conduct themselves as they meet with those outside the home. The most powerful influence that can be exerted in behalf of the religion of Jesus Christ is a well-ordered and disciplined family. That person, man or woman, who is humble and consecrated will show by his daily life how much the religion of Jesus Christ has done and is doing for him. But you take the man or the woman who is all the time fretting and acting like a balky horse. Satan is beside them. He is planting his banner right in their house, and he is having just a fine time. He is having a nice time rejoicing in his influence, and it is his spirit that is manifest in that home. You want the Spirit of Christ in your homes if you want joy and peace. You have the Spirit of God in you, and you will attract the children of God around you. And what is the influence you are carrying outside? It is the spirit of long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. You have to meet those who will cross your track, and if you have cultivated these fruits of the Spirit, why, how many hard places it will help you over. Why is it that the machinery doesn't run hard? It is because the Spirit of Christ is in the heart. I feel so sorry for Jesus Christ when those who claim to believe the most solemn truth that was ever given should so give themselves up to foolish talking and unkind remarks. God helps us that we may see the necessity of overcoming this. You say the Christian life is so hard, and this is so difficult for me to overcome. Is Jesus dead, brethren? Is he in Joseph's new tomb? Did Satan triumph over him? Does he tell you you must overcome these things without any help? No, he will help us at every step. Thank God we may take hold upon the merits of Jesus Christ. There is virtue in the blood of the atonement. It is for us to get where we can bear much fruit. And in that very fruit is your power to bring souls to Christ. We don't want you to become discouraged. Whom does Christ call his? Those who have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Have you done it? Oh, God grant that you may, if you have not. If you are living or abiding in the true vine, you will walk in the Spirit. Wherever you go, you will manifest that Spirit, and by beholding, you will become like him. If you reveal Jesus in your life, others will know that you are a Christian. But if you talk that you are a Christian and don't live like one, I have no reason to believe you are one. You may say, I have not charity. Well, I have not the kind of charity for that. Brethren, we want our lives to show that we are Christians. We want to show it in our deal. We want to live so that God will not be ashamed to own us as his children. Don't say that you are a Christian and yet say that you are weak, that you are jealous and have evil surmisings. If you do, you must get over it, or you are not a Christian. It won't do for you to harbor these wrong feelings. You must overcome all this. Jesus will be your helper. You have only one day at a time. Shall we not put forth every effort and watch unto prayer and bring Jesus very nigh us? Shall we not do this? Shall we not try to keep our hearts right before God? Shall we not let our prayers constantly ascend to him for strength and grace? He is at your right hand. Then he cannot be very far off. Oh, that our tongues may be sanctified, that our ears may be sanctified. Then we can bear fruit unto righteousness. I never saw the time when we needed more the power of God in our souls. There is a crisis at hand. In place of the law of the Ten Commandments will be shoved in the Sunday law. This crisis is coming upon us. This nation that has been blessed so many years with liberty and prosperity, this nation that has enjoyed religious liberty so far beyond that of other nations until it has become an asylum for the oppressed, this nation that God has given advantages over every other nation on the face of the earth, this nation that God has honored and blessed, what are the people of this nation doing? They are agitating the question of enacting laws that shall compel the people to trample upon the law of Jehovah. God has given a commandment to rest upon the seventh day. He has given this commandment to men to observe. It is God's memorial. What is Satan doing in our world? Why, he has been working for a long time to get control of the minds and emotions of the people, that he might cause them to commit idolatry. He has them worked up where they want to put a working day right in the place of the Sabbath. When that law shall be carried out, the very principles of liberty for which our fathers fought will be trampled upon. The reformers, the martyrs, have died at the stake for these principles of religious liberty. When this law does go into effect, it is then that the nation's ruin will take place. It is then that it becomes universal that the law of God is made void by this nation of boasted liberty. What then? Why, Satan has done just what he wanted to. The man of sin has exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Well now, we want to understand what our position is, brethren and sisters, at a time when the crisis has come. God and the whole universe of heaven are looking to see what will take place in the world. It is time for us to arouse. Because the trampling upon God's law becomes universal, is it any reason that we should drop back? There are those who will rally to the front. There are those that will proclaim the law of God, and as they see the contempt and the indignity that is placed upon the law of God by exalting another day in the place of the Sabbath, they will put forth every effort to maintain and exalt the law of God. There is a power at work that is stirring the very elements of society. There are trying times just before us when men's faith will be tested. We want to be prepared for this emergency. We want to be ready, and we want our children ready. And what are we going to do about it? Why, we want Christ in our hearts. We want to be abiding in the true vine. We want to honor God and keep His commandments. We must have Christ at every step. We cannot afford to be without Him a moment, not a moment. Brethren, Christ says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Wonderful love. Brethren, if you are abiding in the true vine, when you meet, you will have something to say for Jesus. If you have the Spirit of God abiding in you, your powers will become strengthened. The more you search the Scriptures, the more you will love Jesus Christ. If you want to grow spiritually, brethren, search the Scriptures. The more you do, the better you can pray. The more you can lift up holy hands to God without doubting. And you are in that position where God is being constantly glorified through you. You are bringing Christ right into your life. "Sanctify them through thy truth," was the prayer of Christ. "Thy word is truth." Some people, when they come into meeting, seem to stand just where they have stood. They do not improve in knowledge. They do not improve in spirit. How can we think they are the children of God? The Lord wants to do wonderful things for His people. See how He poured out His blessings upon the people on the day of Pentecost. He wants to bless His people today. The windows of heaven are not locked. We can go on from strength to strength, from knowledge to knowledge, from light to light, until we grow into the full stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. Brethren and sisters, are you satisfied with your present associations? Are you satisfied with your present condition? Are you satisfied to shut Christ out of your dwelling? Why shall we not bring Him in? Why shall His name not become a household name? I was in England at the time of the Queen's Jubilee. Her picture was in all the windows, upon paper, upon glass, on everything. Everything was done to keep her in the memory and thoughts of the people. Such parades! Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars expended upon that occasion. Why, the people paid dollars just for a place to sit in the windows and see the parade. $200 or $300 paid for a position in a window to see the Queen. I was right there in London when this excitement took place. It made me sad. Not that they had the right to do this, but I thought of the Christian world. Here we are looking for the Lord to come in the clouds of heaven. Do we keep Him in mind? If we really believe in Jesus, if we really believe in His coming, if we are abiding in Christ, we shall not be complaining about every little cross. We shall be thinking of what Christ our Savior has done in our behalf. As we look at the cross of Calvary, our petty vexations will vanish from sight. Why should we not, as Christians, lift him up, the man of Calvary? Why, Christ laid aside his robes of glory, and for our sakes he became poor. He was rich, and he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. That sacrifice will be lost to us unless we lay hold upon Christ by faith. We have no righteousness of ourselves at all. All the prophecies show us that the end of all things is at hand. Let us be getting our hearts right before God. I will tell a little incident. My son's little girl, who was 7 years old 3 months ago, was with her mother one day. Her mother was reading to her about the Lord coming in power and great glory. She listened attentively. At last she said, "What, Jesus coming to our world?" "Yes, my child, Jesus is coming to our world." "Oh," said the child, "why didn't you tell me before? When is he coming?" "We cannot tell just how soon he will come, but Christ is coming very soon." "Well, how soon is he coming?" "We cannot tell you the time, but Jesus is surely coming to our world." "Oh," said she, "I don't think I am ready. I don't think I have been a good girl all my life. What shall I do?" "Why, you must give your heart to Jesus and try to overcome your own will and overcome having your own way." "Oh, but mother, what can I do? You know, mother, it is hard for me to give up my own will. I am afraid Christ will come and find I have a will of my own." "What shall I do, mother?" "You must ask him to give you a heart to do his will." "I can't wait till night, mother, to pray. Won't you pray with me right here?" What conviction upon that child's heart! Tears streamed down her cheeks. She said, "Dear Lord, I've got a will that is wicked, a will that is hard for me to give up. Will you help me, Jesus? For I don't know what to do." Well, the Lord heard that prayer, and he did give help. She has had a precious experience. She has been a changed child from that day. When that child realized that Christ was coming, she felt that she was not ready, and she sought for help, and the Lord gave it. Here we are, we who can open the Scriptures and understand all about Christ's coming, and we are just as insensible. Our hearts are so hard that they are not impressed. We are expecting the Savior, the Son of God, and yet we don't make half the ado they did about the Queen. Jesus laid aside his robes of honor and glory and assumed humanity to show humanity how to live, how to overcome. Christ could not do this with his robes of glory on. Step after step he takes until he is stretched upon the cross, dying the most cruel death. And then he burst the fetters and came forth and triumphed over death and the grave. And he tells his children that they need not fear death. "You shall not always lie there, but you shall come forth in the resurrection morning. You shall come forth when the loved of God shall come forth. I will call forth the righteous dead to a glorious immortality. They will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Why, they will see Jesus as he is, and be made like him, for they shall see him as he is." How can you, as Christians, go mourning and depressed if you are taking hold upon Jesus? Well, it has been 47 years since I gave my heart to God. Tomorrow I shall be 61 years old, and I can tell you, I would not change the life I have given to God for the life of a sinner for the whole world. Do you say, "Oh, you have had an easy life. You have not had much trouble"? Have I not buried the eldest and the youngest of my children? Have I not buried my husband? Haven't I known what affliction is? Have not I known what suffering is? I have drunk the cup of suffering, but I have not said a murmuring word. I remember the Savior in Gethsemane. I remember that cup trembled in his hand. Shall he open his breast to all this guilt? Shall he be treated as the one that is guilty of all the sins of the whole world? Shall he bear it? But he did bear it. He drank the cup. And yet he prayed the Father that if it were possible, it might pass from him. And just as soon as I think I have trouble and suffering, my mind goes right to Jesus and I say, let me be a partaker with Christ in his suffering. Let me suffer for his dear name. For those who suffer with him shall be partakers in his glory. They shall sit down with him on his throne. I don't want the easy parts.
Brethren, do you preach Christ and him crucified? Do you enter the houses of the people and teach Jesus? Or do you hang these helpless souls upon yourselves? Oh, never, never let these souls be attracted merely to you. When you see that they are being attracted to you, hold up Jesus, that they may be attracted to him. Hold up him who died upon Calvary. It was for your sins that he suffered. If you want to be successful in working for the salvation of souls, you want divine power united with human effort. Then you can be successful. It is only one day at a time. I remember speaking to one soul about running the race with patience. I said to her, it is only one step at a time. God asks you to do your duty only for one day at a time. Well, said she, that looks different. I think I can do that. Yes, it is only one step at a time, and every step takes us nearer the great white throne, nearer the crystal sea. What must I do to be saved? Why, give yourself to Jesus and say, here I am, Jesus. You have given yourself for me. You have paid the infinite price for my salvation. I have robbed you of my service all these years of my life, but now I repent of it. And now I give myself just as I am, a poor, miserable sinner. But you say, what shall I do? The spirit of repentance must come to me. Yes, indeed. But the very same God that will send his power to convert you will send repentance to you. Every soul of you will repent when your heart is broken. You have only a little time to get ready. Is there anyone here who has not yet given his heart to Christ? Will you not this very day do it? Are you afraid you cannot hold out? Can you not trust God to help you through one day? And if you can live right one day, ask God for strength to live the next day. Won't Jesus help us? Doesn't he love us? Why, he who hung on Calvary's cross passed through all that agony to save men. Doesn't he love us? What greater, what more do we want? Christ says, what more could I do for my vineyard than I have done for it? Isaiah 5, verse 4. And he wants us to love him and be obedient. Now, I gave my life to him when I was 11 years old. I remember the experience of that little girl was enacted in my life. I picked up a little piece of paper in the road. That paper said that a man was going to preach that the Lord was coming. I was so afraid that he would come before I were ready. I wrestled with God, and he gave me his blessing, and he gave me peace. I went to my young companions. I told them. I pleaded with them. I got them to bow with me before God in prayer. I was possessed by a hasty temper.
I began to pray for the Lord to help me overcome this. I began to wrestle in prayer for God's grace and blessing, and He gave it to me. When we have God's blessing with us, we can improve our powers so that we can render back glory to God. Here are souls to be gathered in. Right around in the shadow of our own homes are souls to be brought in. Reading of Poem 90 and 9. Now, brethren, I want you to consider that that is a very faint representation of what the Savior has done for us. Brethren, what are you going to do from this day? Are you going out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the Lord's house may be filled? Oh, how my soul longs after the souls that are out of Christ! I would I could take them and lay them upon the bosom of Christ. Shall we forget our nice houses and fine things? Shall we go bearing reproach for Christ's sake? Shall we try to get out minds fixed upon things above? Shall we live the truth before the world? Shall we help others, not alone by our words, but by our lives? God help us that we may win souls to Jesus Christ. I want His love in my heart. I want you to have it. When trials arise, lift up your eyes and say, "There is a crown waiting for me." Live so that you can say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, 8. Why, this little life, what does it amount to? There is a life beyond, an eternity, a life of happiness. No death can enter there. There will be no malarial taints there, no sickness or pain or sorrow. Do you not want to be there? The streets are paved with gold, and you will see the King in His glory. I must be there. I must see the King in His majesty. Don't lead people to believe they can go there and take their sins right along. The characters must be changed here. We must learn to sing the songs of redemption here if we ever sing the song of redemption in heaven. Sing of His goodness. Talk of His power.